Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, a total of 3,057 people were killed in car accidents last year alone, and the majority of these traffic deaths are from people who were distracted when driving. So put down those cell phones and concentrate on your car. If you don't, someone in your family may need to call a Florida wrongful death attorney. And today, from the law firm of Farmer, Jaffe, Weising, Edwards, Vistos, and Learman, PI, is board-certified civil trial attorney Brad Edwards. Brad Edwards will be giving us the 411 on wrongful death and negligent security. That is always in the news. But first, I'd like to welcome our legal panel host. First, good evening, Gary Singer.
How you doing, Phil?
And good evening, Gary Ostro.
Good to be here, Phil.
Gary. And filling in for Mike Santucci is Mike's partner of Santucci Priori, Joe Priori.
Thanks, Phil. Good to be here.
Appreciate you coming in. We know you have a busy schedule as well. You know, Brad Edwards is board certified in civil trial. And I'd like to say good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Brad, you recently had a high-profile case regarding wrongful death, and I know you don't prefer I mention the money, but I've got to. You won over $24 million in a jury verdict obtained in a wrongful death case, and that's arising from an automobile crash in a hotel cabana.
That's right. That was an interesting case, an unusual case in some respects, and it happened right here in Fort Lauderdale at the Riverside Hotel.
Right.
We represented a 27-year-old female who was pregnant at the time, and it's a really sad story. She had won from her church up in Boston a trip down to Florida with her husband. They checked into the Riverside Hotel and then asked where the pool was, went across the street to the cabana pool. She was in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
And a drunk driver coming eastbound on the Sagamore Street that was right behind the Riverside Hotel went off the road right at the curve. And crashed through the cabana and killed her and her unborn child.
Wow, I know that's very tragic. And it seems like people always speed on them.
Well, and that's, you know, when we first got involved and during jury selection, we were getting some strange looks as to why would you sue the hotel for the wrongful death when clearly this is the drunk driver's fault.
Right.
But, right, I mean, and until you get into the evidence, until you hear the whole story, that's always kind of that first blush, that's what it looked like. But what we had uncovered was there were internal emails amongst the management of the Riverside Hotel discussing just how many speeders there were. In fact, it was known as, amongst the Riverside employees, the racetrack.
Wow.
Brad, Gary Ostro, and I wanted to get into that, what we call in the legal field notice when you describe these internal emails. Explain to the listening audience what that means, how that notice is relevant to your cause of action.
Yeah, of course, just because a death happens on a property, that doesn't automatically make the property owner responsible. There's many things that you can't foresee and you don't know that are going to happen. The property owner has a legal duty. That duty is to maintain their property in a reasonably safe condition. It doesn't have to be perfect. But that also entails protecting against reasonably foreseeable acts. And the allegation in that case, and how it is in many of these cases, is that this act was foreseeable. What would make it foreseeable? Well, it had never happened before, and that was one of the defenses. There's a cabana sitting there for 49 years that had never been hit. But it was not only foreseeable. In our view, it was inevitable, and the jury believed so, too.
But the emails were constructive evidence of, or constructive notice, evidence of constructive notice that they were aware of the threat or the liability. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely a fair statement. And the reason the emails even existed was because the hotel was complaining to the city, hey, we have a major problem back here. Somebody is going to get hurt. Someone might get killed. We need to put up a stop sign. We need to do something. But all we said was, what you should really do is just put up some palm trees around this building that's exposed to the road, and you've protected everybody that could possibly be injured.
Let me cut in because, you guys do this trial law stuff more than I do. It was inevitable. How was it explained, if you can tell us, that it was inevitable?
Sure. So I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but there's a fairly sharp curve coming.
Sure, yeah.
Coming westbound on Sagamore Street, and it turns right behind the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And right sitting 10 feet off of the road is a old wooden cabana. At that road, given the apex of that turn, the defense expert testified that, hey, I went out and measured it, and the appropriate speed for that turn is 14 miles per hour. The speed limit is 25 miles per hour.
Wow.
We did a speed survey, and there were at least 5 cars traveling over 65 miles per hour. So when I cross-examined that expert and said, if somebody's going 50 miles per hour, can they make the turn? Is it possible? No way. Can't happen.
Gotcha. So the two questions are, though, how did you overcome the fact that even this being the case, it hadn't happened in 45 years?
Well, it
besides great lawyer.
No, but there was a real explanation because 49 years ago, the place looked different. You know, it wasn't really fair to say 45 years when you have 45 years ago, you have Las Olas, which is just a straight shoot to the beach. No, everybody just took Las Olas.
Gotcha. The conditions had changed.
Yeah, that became in the last 10 years really kind of the end around to get around the traffic of Las Olas.
But if the hotel told the city, hey, you need to lower the speed limit, and they didn't, why is it the hotel's fault still?
Well, because the hotel only has to do what is necessary to protect their own patrons from reasonably foreseeable harm. The harm is either going to happen to the patrons at one side of the hotel or the other. So they don't have the duty to slow the cars down, but they do have the duty to make sure that if a car doesn't make that turn, it's not going to run into one of their patrons, which was simply protect against the chance that somebody goes off the road right there and hits somebody on the side of the road or runs into
the road. So it's the foreseeability is the key to this.
The foreseeability is the key to every negligence case. If it's not foreseeable, then it's really not actionable.
So it's not going to be a freak accident. This has to be something that, again, you said, was definitely going to happen eventually.
Exactly. And look, the defense did put on a pretty good defense of this is a freak accident. But when you really look at the internal emails and the speed surveys and the fact that nobody really could stay on the road if one person doesn't make the turn, it did make it foreseeable.
But this guy was drunk, right?
That's true.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, how did that play into? I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, I was going to say this gives a wake-up notice to other businesses and property owners, Gary, because we're talking a very large verdict. The jury's being loud and clear, and I know that Joe has a question.
Brad, what's the difference between a personal injury case and a wrongful death case?
Well, just the injury. So, that's the short answer. But in a personal injury case where somebody does not die, there is certain legal consequence to that, such as the statute of limitations is 4 years. Let's say you get hit by a car and you want to bring a claim for your broken leg. You have 4 years to bring that claim. Same exact thing happens. It's a personal injury, but from that accident, you get hit by a car and you die. The personal representative of your estate only has 2 years to bring that claim. So it's actually a truncated statute of limitations is one of the major things. But really, the only difference is somebody died.
Brad, if I can jump in, did you guys bring a dram shop act against the driver or the bar that served the patron, if you ever got that far? And who else were the defendants besides the hotel?
There were no other defendants beside the hotel. The
Did you eliminate the dram shop, consider it, and eliminate it, or was it an issue?
The dram shop laws in Florida are not good. In fact, in order to prove it, you have to prove that they sold alcohol to somebody under the age of 21, which was not the case, or somebody who was a habitual drunkard, which was not the case.
Which is more often the way it's asserted.
That's pretty much the only way that it ever gets brought, but that wasn't the case here. She had never even been to the bar, this particular bar before. This is at noon in the afternoon.
What bar did you establish she was coming from?
She was coming from Mango's on...
Right down the street. It's three blocks away from the Riverside.
Exactly, and she got in an argument with her husband, and she literally pointed the car west and just drove in a straight line, a literal straight line directly into the cabana that was sitting on the side of the road. Wow. Didn't turn at all, just drove straight.
And as Joe pointed out, the distinction between a wrongful death and a PI case, ironically, a PI case is of greater value than a wrongful death case. Why is that? Is that generally true?
Well, generally true, but it depends on the injury. Well, because it costs money. Future medical expenses.
Pain and suffering.
Well, future pain and suffering, true. But future medical expenses, let's say that the exact same injury happened and, God forbid, she's the same person is hit, and she's a quadriplegic. Well, that costs an extraordinary amount of money to maintain that person's life over, let's say, 30 years. If she's dead at that time, well, the medical expenses in the future, just being realistic, don't exist. You have funeral expenses, and then you have the pain and suffering for the beneficiaries, which in this case was her husband. And that was it. It was only the pain and suffering of the husband, and that's what the jury awarded $24 million.
Hey, Brad, let me jump in. So this is about foreseeability, but you know, there's easy technology. For example, they can put in every car a little straw that you blow and it's drunk, the car won't turn over, right? That would have stopped this too. So you know, where does that foreseeability reasonably stop? And it's not unreasonable, for that matter, to put a BAC sensor into every car before you turn the car on. It would stop thousands of deaths a year.
Yeah.
So why isn't, you know, GM or Ford or ever going down on a $240 million verdict on this?
Gary hates this question.
Well, I'm going to jump in if you don't mind, because you're talking about people convicted.
Don't mind. I couldn't stop you if I wanted
to. Well, you're speaking to the preaching of the choir, but those are circumstances in aggravated DUIs or repeat offenders, a mandatory condition or sentence that they're going to install an interlock device, which is what
I'm referring to. Yeah, no, I got you. I'm talking about civil liability. Why is GM not responsible for not making the car safe, which they can easily do.
That takes away the responsibility from the adult driver to control their own behavior.
Yeah,
it's not up to
what?
The car companies, the manufacturers.
In a way, though, you can use that same argument for the hotel, saying, hey, it's up to the drivers to drive slowly enough reasonably to get around the curve like all the other ones have done over the years.
Yep. But every single case, every single negligence case has to begin with a duty. And GM doesn't know the situation, don't know the
people involved.
They don't have a duty, but GM doesn't know that people don't get drunk and drive.
They don't have a duty.
They don't have a duty.
To everybody in the universe.
Right.
Just the people that they sell cars to.
the people in the universe sell cars to.
Right.
We'll limit it to this universe.
Yeah, no, I don't think the but-for clause works that way.
But it's an interesting concept.
Well, the interlock device, actually, beginning July of this year, they're going to make it mandatory on a first-time offense. Right now, and according to the statistics, there are 9,000 interlock devices being used in Florida.
This isn't this is money. Yeah. And GM having a better lobby and better lawyers than more than a
it's all about
the
money
opinion.
In the interlock device, and you can't get around it in criminal court either. I'm sure Brad knows that.
What about valuing the life of the unborn child? Was that an issue in this case?
It wasn't an issue under the wrongful death statute. The unborn fetus is not recognized. So under the statute, it's any of the beneficiaries, which starts with the husband, and then it is the children, but it is our law only allows for children who have actually been born. So we were not able – the jury was able to hear about it because they were able to assess the husband's loss of his wife and – the possibility that value was greater because she was pregnant. But that was a close call. That was actually a close call.
It sounds kind of inconsistent with the ruling or the lack of a damage factor for the pregnancy, where you can argue damages because she's pregnant on one hand. On the other hand, you can't recover damages based on that.
And
Do you agree? There's an inconsistency?
Well, it was a close call because we were not able to argue his pain and suffering for the loss of the fetus. It was only the loss of his wife.
But it makes the plaintiff much more sympathetic, to say the least, or the victim.
So you say.
Yeah.
So I said,
we're going to be taking.
That's all I'm saying. I didn't say anybody else
this
said.
This is great stuff, but we're going to be coming right back. We have to take a break, a station identification. And you're listening to Brad Edwards. Brad Edwards is board certified. That makes him an expert in civil law, civil litigation, correct?
Yes, Bill, thanks.
And what law firm are you from?
Farmer Jaffe Weising, Edwards, Fistos, and Lehrman. We're trying to set a record for the longest name in town.
I was going to make you say it three times fast. But coming back, we're going to continue regarding wrongful death, who actually, you know, who can actually sue for wrongful death. And then we're going to be going into negligent security. It's a huge issue, and especially with that Pulse shooting in Orlando, which was horrendous as well. You're listening to Legal News in Review, and we're going to be coming back to Brad Edwards just after this break.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipients of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, along with
Gary Ostro
and
Gary Singer, the moderator,
and filling and
vice moderator,
and filling in for Michael Santucci is
Joe Priori, the moderator.
And we're speaking with Brad Edwards. And we're finishing up a part of a two-part of a one segment here, focusing on wrongful death, and then we're going to go into negligent security. And I left the audience with a question that we're going to ask you. Who can bring an action for wrongful death?
Sure. The wrongful death statute is not a simple statute. It's fairly complicated. But generally speaking, it's the spouse of the deceased. Mm-hmm. That's where we begin. The children. And in circumstances, the parents.
Children up to what age?
Well, under the wrongful death statute, minors are defined as under the age of 25. So minors under the age of 25, mm-hmm. But there are exceptions where children over the age of 25 can also bring claims.
Which would be, the legal term would be standing. Would that be an appropriate analogy, the word standing, those who have standing to bring the cause of action?
Absolutely. And in this case, with wrongful death, it's statutory standing. It's defined by the statute whether or not that person has a claim.
All right, ready? You know, negligent security is in the news. Orlando shooting spawns negligent security queries. That's what happened at Pulse, where I guess it was over 48 people lost their lives. Can an injured, innocent bystander actually sue an owner of a bar for negligent security over a fight that occurs in the bar?
Yeah, of course. And that's somewhat related to the case that we were just talking about. Like I said, there's a duty of a landowner. Every landowner has a duty. What is that legal duty? It's to protect against reasonably foreseeable criminal attacks. So if it is a reasonably foreseeable crime that occurs on that property, then the victim has a cause of action against the property owner.
Brad, talk about undertaking and the relevance of that. And this sounds a little bit ironic, but my understanding is if a hotel has break-ins and burglaries and they hire a security force, then they're more exposed because they're clearly on notice and they're undertaking to prevent future events.
What?
As opposed to somebody who doesn't undertake, is there an argument that a defense can make that the ones who don't undertake are not as clearly on notice, other factors being excluded?
Not really. At some point in time, that was the case. But the case law is pretty clear now. There's many ways that you can bring a negligent security case, but I'll tell you the two main ways that it happens. Let's take a bar, for instance. A lot of negligent security cases arise out of bars, apartment complexes, parking lots, things of that nature. But if we just take the bar, if a bar knows of the dangerous propensity of somebody in that establishment, they know that that person has been in the establishment before, they've been in a fight before, they're an aggressive person, and they don't have appropriate supervision over that particular person, even knowing that that person is a danger, then when that person injures somebody else in the bar, that bar can be sued because they're on notice. They have the foreseeability.
See, I don't get that. If someone's dangerous, it's up to the police, not the establishment, to keep them under control.
But if you're in my establishment, I know you're dangerous.
Private business. You know it.
Truer words were never spoken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
But
then ask me to leave. So you can't be here, and if they don't leave, you get a cop.
Well, but if you're not doing anything wrong that day,
I mean, you know, Gary gets them out or in some technicality.
Even though this is one of the ways in which foreseeability can arise, it's the least common
way. But it just
seems,
doesn't it seem like passing the buck? I mean, I know you're going to say no because of what you do, but I mean, it seems like passing a buck.
It's not really
like
passing.
It's the police's job to keep people safe, not the bar.
But not in a private establishment.
Think about it.
Yeah, in a private establishment.
The establishment has a duty.
People are acting in a dangerous way to other citizens.
The private establishment has the duty to the clientele, customer.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Why not? Why
would it be up to private establishment to have their own security
Because
force?
They're profiting. They're
this
not,
isn't
they're
1883
profiting.
Where you're going to hire your own. Oh, the coal town's got to hire its own security force.
No, they all have
We're
bouncers.
We're going to kick out them union types.
The one thing I will agree with that what Gary said, and the only thing I'll ever agree with.
To keep order and keep
I've
the wrong
never
out.
Seen a bouncer that's been trained to do what they're supposed to do.
Well, and that's the point. It's always negligent unless you have highly trained security forces.
I'm going to defer to the expert.
Yeah,
right?
Let's hear it from Brad.
Right.
Brad, I want to hear from you, man.
That's right.
We'll let him talk.
Help me out here. Let's put Gary down on this.
But every property owner has the duty. A police officer doesn't have a duty to do anything inside the property. The property owner has the duty. If you're going to have an establishment, you have a duty to protect your
That's
your
where
patrons.
It starts.
So then the police can't come in if there's a crime?
Well,
of
it depends.
Course they can come
it depends.
In.
So there's two different ways that a duty arises. One is that, like we just said, they know of the dangerous propensity of somebody. That's the least common way. The more common way is this particular establishment knows that it's a high crime area or that and that there have been specific instances of similar conduct in the area. Let's take, for instance, somebody is at an amusement park and they get shot in a parking lot, which is a case that I tried in 2011. I represented a football player that got shot at Boomer's amusement park in the parking lot.
I remember reading that.
That sounds like it's the shooter's fault. It's not Boomer's fault. But then when we do discovery and we find out that there have been 67 violent crimes in the last 2 years, and the police officers who are guarding the merchandise inside the amusement park kick out every gang member out to the parking lot so that when the people are arriving, they think that they're just going to an amusement park, and really it's gang warfare in the back
parking lot.
Sure. So where's the police keeping the gang members out of the parking lot?
It
starts with the establishment.
And by law, it's a non-delegable duty. So even though they had police officers there, they can't delegate the duty to the police officers. It always has to fall back on the establishment. If you're going to run an establishment
and
profit from it and invite people to it, you have to protect them if it's reasonably foreseeable that they could get hurt.
I mean, I understand that's what the law is, but there's a level of ridiculousness to it when it's a parking lot. You know, you shouldn't have to, as a business, have to have bouncers.
When you're throwing gang members out into the parking lot and you're on notice,
well, where
that
should
hanging
you throw
out,
them out to?
When they're hanging out there and the patrons
yeah, so
are going
call,
through the parking
you call,
lot.
You know, the non-emergency
but the
police
duty
number
starts
say,
with the establishment.
Hey, I got some gang bangers.
When you go there and get shot, though, and find...
right?
When you go there and get shot and you find out that, hey, look, it's not really their fault, right? But then you find out 10 people were shot the week before. You would hope that somebody would have warned you or at least put some
mayor.
Security in place.
The mayor. I hope
Gary,
the mayor.
Gary's waiving any causes of action if it ever happens.
I just
happens
think you're letting the police and, well, really the city, the municipality, off the hook for maintaining a safe environment within their. Well, why? Because what? These establishments don't pay their taxes. They don't pay their property taxes. They're profiting. And they're paying taxes on the profit. The whole purpose of why we get taxed is so that the government can provide needed services.
And when they're called, they show up. 911.
You know, there's never enough time.
You know, it's not a response. It's also
Gary,
to keep people safe.
We really do have to go. Brad Edwards, you practice different areas of law. You were invited to speak about wrongful death and negligent security. For those that may be listening that may have some issues along those lines, what is the best way to contact you?
The phone number to reach us at is 954-524-2820. Our website is pathtojustice.com, PathtoJustice.com. My email is brad@pathtojustice.com.
I'm going to ask one more question here. What's the next trial you got coming up that's probably going to go?
We have a one-month defamation trial being tried in New York in federal court in the Southern District, May 15th through June 15th.
Any parties you want to mention just for fun?
Not really.
Okay. I asked you answers.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Gary?
And on that note, Gary used up all my time, so they'll have fun and be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.